chapter 19. Second Kings chapter 19, and this will probably be our last sermon in the miracle series, but we'll definitely be talking about miracles all the way, well, from here on, we'll still be talking about. Let's look together in verse 16 to get started this morning in 2 Kings chapter 19. And I just want to remind you today about miracles of deliverance, that you serve a great and a mighty God. I'm going to need you guys probably to listen fast in some spaces so I can read quickly, but I think when we get to the point, it should be a real encouragement to you. 2 Kings in chapter 19 and verse 16. The word of God says, Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Isn't that it? All this we're talking about? He's the Lord, and he's the only one who is the Lord. Lord, do something so great that people will know it was you. I hope the Lord would do that among us, that he'll do things among us, and we'll say, well, there's no way we could do that. It had to be the Lord. Okay? All right, today's our miracle story about one of the good kings, one of the last good kings of Judah, and how God honored his obedience. His name is Hezekiah. Again, what I want to challenge, you guys have been such a blessing to me. Please don't stop asking for God to do miracles in your life. He's been doing miracles even as we've been in this series. We've been seeing God do things. It's amazing how the Lord is at work. Please ask God. He's a big God. Ask him to do big things in your life for his glory. All right, let's go back a chapter just briefly. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 5. And let's introduce you quickly to Hezekiah. Hezekiah, king who followed the Lord. 2 Kings 18, 5 says, Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord, and he did not stop following him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. He rebelled against the king of Assyria, and he did not serve him. From watchtower to fortified city, he defeated the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory. So Hezekiah is one of the few good kings of Judah. You remember Saul's first king, right, of all Israel. David, good king of all Israel. Solomon kind of goes off track, king of all Israel. Then we have a split, right? We have Jeroboam and Rehoboam. So what you'll see is you'll have these 10 tribes of the north will be called Israel, and then you'll have Judah and sometimes Benjamin aligned with them in the south. Well, Assyria comes through in this time in history, probably about like 750 down to around 722 is the time that Assyria comes and they capture the northern kingdom. So Samaria is taken and all that part of Israel now belongs to Sennacherib and to Assyria. And if you heard about Assyria, they were very cruel to their enemies. They are known for taking their enemies and chaining them up by their noses, like by fish hooks, and dragging them out of their home country to assimilate them into other places. Very vile, very wicked, but very proud, very arrogant, and probably in that day, the strongest army on the earth was the Assyrian army. But if you'll notice what we read, the Bible said Hezekiah rebelled against the Assyrians, and he was successful. He's also successful against the Philistines. Basically, he did what the Lord had asked him to do, and early on, he has great success, and he will not surrender. Look down at verse 32, chapter 18, and I want you to see the threat that is coming from Sennacherib and from Assyria. Verse 32, part B, this is one of Sennacherib's speakers who's coming to talk to Israel. And this is what this Assyrian leader shares with the people of Israel. He says, "Do not listen to Hezekiah, for he is misleading you when he says, 'The Lord will deliver us.' Has the God of any nation ever delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria?" Is everybody tracking with this? I'm not sure you're with me just yet. You know what he's doing? "Your God, Jehovah, he is nothing. Has any God of any nation ever been able to withstand the king of Assyria?" Have you ever seen a throwdown? This is what you're seeing right here, okay? This Assyrian messenger is coming and basically saying, "Your God is weak, your God is impotent, your God cannot do anything compared to my king." And he's saying it to the people, not to the king, but to the people. He is speaking it to the Israelite, to the people of Judah. Verse 34, "Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim and Hena and Iva? Have they rescued Samaria from my hand?" Verse 35, "Who of all the gods of these countries has been able to save his land from me? How then can the Lord deliver Jerusalem from my hand?" But the people remained silent, and they said nothing in reply, because the king had commanded, "Do not answer him." Verse 37, "Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, went to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him what the field commander had said." All right, can I make a silly comparison this morning? Let's say that China had invaded the whole eastern half of the United States. And China now had control of everything east of the Mississippi, except for the state of Indiana. Their dominance was displayed. They had already conquered, they'd already showed their power. And our military was completely weakened to the point of not having any power at all. So when you're saying, "Well, we're America," well, we're not America in my illustration, okay? So in Indiana, the people began to be a little bit nervous because now this Chinese emperor has come and said, "I'm coming for you next. What are you going to do about it? Nobody else has been able to stop me." Where are you at feeling right now? Part of you is like, "Come on, I'll take you on," right? But the other part of you, if you saw the whole rest of the country being invaded and taken over, and all your family and all your friends from the east being taken to Asian places, you would be scared to death. Part of you wouldn't, right? And that's what happened here. Shebna and Joah and Eliakim, they come to King Hezekiah. And how do they come to the king? Do they come saying, "Oh, this is no problem, we're going to take him out"? They come with their clothes torn, which was a sign of intense grief. Oh no. God told us if we disobeyed him, we were going to be taken out. This is probably what's going to happen. And they come in their intense grief to tell the king. Now, I thought it was really powerful of the people to not respond to the Assyrian messenger, wasn't it? Right? They stayed silent. But they came and they spoke to Hezekiah. Again, we see the commander of the army taunting Hezekiah and the Israelites, and the big thing is he's actually taunting their God. Hamath, Arpad, those towns, are they still doing okay? No. They were praying to their gods, and we had no problem destroying them. What's the difference with your God? Okay. Also, if you study the scriptures, you'll see in Isaiah as well that when the commander came, he spoke in Aramaic in a way so that all the people could hear exactly what he was saying. He didn't need a translator, because he was trying to intimidate the people. So when the Hezekiah's servants show up, they are in mourning. And I want to say a couple truths to you here just briefly. Enemies of the one true God are in many places. We saw that idea in the video today, didn't we, right? They like to taunt, they like to demean, but remember this: God will always get his justice. Who's on the Lord's side? So let's go back to that little feeling of being afraid for just a second. And I'm going to tell you this morning, with the Lord at your back, you can be a little bit bravado. You can be a little bit strong, because it's not you, right? There's no one going to defeat my Lord when he has set his will in action. So let's look at Hezekiah's response. Chapter 19, verse 1. When Hezekiah heard this, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and went to the temple of the Lord. You see what's going on here? He is humbling himself. You guys, when you come into a situation where you don't see a way out, you need to humble yourself before the Lord. And that's what the king does. Verse 4. It may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of this field commander, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to ridicule the living God, and that he will rebuke him for the words the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, pray for the remnant that still survives. Verse 5. When King Hezekiah's officials came to Isaiah, Isaiah said to them, "Tell your master, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid of what you have heard, those words with which the underlings of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me." Verse 7, listen, when he hears a certain report, I will make him want to return to his own country, and there I will have him cut down with the sword. Hezekiah hears that Assyria is coming to wipe them out. He goes before the Lord. He humbles himself, rents his clothes, says, "God, for your own name, that all the earth would know that you're the one true God, you God alone, please intervene for the remnant of your people." Isaiah, the servants go to Isaiah and tell him what's going on. Isaiah sends them back and says, "You go tell the king it's going to be fine." Can you believe that? What? "Don't worry. I got this. The Lord has heard your prayer. And actually, the Syrian punishment has been at the directive of the Lord. He's already been in charge of that. And now he's going to let Sennacherib hear a certain report. And when he does, he's going to go back to his own land. And when he goes back to his own land, he's going to be cut down. Nothing." I think the scripture will even say in one place, not even an arrow will come to Jerusalem. Wow, right? That's an incredible faith. So what I want to remind you again today, simple truth that we've done all spring this year when we had our series on Afraid. Do not be afraid, but remember these familiar words. What did Jesus say to Jairus? And what does he say again to us? What does he say here to Hezekiah? What does he say through Isaiah? He says, "Do not be afraid." Jesus says, "Believe." Hey, so good. Do not be afraid, but believe. So look at Hezekiah's prayer in verse 14. Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers. He read it. He went to the temple, spread it out before the Lord. He prayed to the Lord God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim. "You alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You've made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes and see. Listen to the words of Sennacherib, a sent to ridicule the living God. It is true, Lord, the Assyrian kings have laid waste these nations. They have thrown their gods in the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone fashioned by human hands." Look at verse 19. "Now, Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand." Why? I put the why in there. "So that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone are God." What can God do if only we would ask? Hezekiah is obedient. God will honor that. Well, he asked God to intervene so that all the earth would know that Jehovah God is the only God, that he alone is God. And here's a truth that I think you and I need to reckon with today. Is the God of the Bible, is that God the only God? There's a lot of gods around today still, isn't there, right? There are, I mean, we've talked about this before. We have people in our neighborhood that still, they have idols in their home that they pray to. And they think those gods are helping them. But we have a lot of other gods in our country today, don't we, right? Gods of power, gods of influence, gods of money, gods of pride and arrogance, gods of physical prowess, gods of celebrity, gods of all of these things together to make influence. But who is God alone? The Lord is, right? Jesus is God alone. Is the God of the Bible God alone? If he is, that has implications in our life and our eternity. And it means Jesus truly is the only way to salvation and to redemption. Let's look at Isaiah's actual prayer and his response down, if you would, down in verse 20. Isaiah the son of Amos, in a message to Hezekiah, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I've heard your prayer concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria. This is the word the Lord has spoken against him. Virgin daughter Zion despises you and mocks you. Daughter Jerusalem tosses her head as you flee. Who is it you have ridiculed and blasphemed? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted your eyes in pride? Against the Holy One of Israel. By your messengers you have ridiculed the Lord, and you have said, with my many chariots I have ascended the heights of the mountains, the utmost heights of Lebanon. I have cut down its tallest cedars, the choicest of its junipers. I have reached the remotest parts, the finest of its forests. I have dug wells in foreign lands and drunk the water there. With the soles of my feet I have dried up all the streams of Egypt. Have you not heard? Long ago I ordained it. In days of old I planned it. Now I have brought it to pass that you have turned fortified cities into piles of stone. Down to verse 28. Because you rage against me, and because your insolence has reached my ears, I will put my hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth, and I will make you return by the way you came. Get that? This is the most powerful king on the planet at the time. His name is Sennacherib. And he's been making all these boastful things. And God said, long ago I ordained those things that they would happen. They've happened because it was my will, not because of your power. And by the way, I'm going to put my hook in your nose, and you're going to go back the way you came, and you're not going to touch my city at this time. Yeah, sometimes we need to hear these stories again, don't we? We need to remind ourselves that the God we serve is the God. He is God alone. And when we trust him, we put our faith in him, and we humble ourselves before him and obey him, there's nothing that we can't do that he, if he has ordained it to happen. And here it comes to pass. So verse 29, a remnant will survive. Isaiah again speaking says, this will be a sign for you, Hezekiah. This year you'll eat what grows by itself, and the second year what springs from that. But in the third year, sow and reap, plant vineyards, and eat their fruit. Once more, a remnant of the kingdom of Judah will take root and below and bear fruit above. For out of Jerusalem will come a remnant, and out of Mount Zion a band of survivors, and the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. And therefore, this is what the Lord says concerning the king of Syria. He will not enter this city or shoot an arrow here. He will not come before it with shield or build a siege ramp against it. By the way he came, he will return. He will not enter the city, declares the Lord. I will defend this city and save it for my sake and for the sake of my David servant. Who's fighting the battle? The Lord is. Put your trust in him. Amen? Basically, what the Lord is saying is the first year, you're going to have to sow, and the second year, you're going to do some more work. But in the third year, believe it or not, things are actually going to be back to normal. And this threat that's been coming from the north, that's already taken captive the other 10 tribes, they're not going to shoot an arrow in this place, because I will defend my city for my namesake. As mighty and powerful and destructive as the Assyrian army was, they would not conquer Jerusalem, and it would be a witness to all the surrounding nations who lived in great fear of that army. And I want to tell you that world history attests to this truth. At this time, the Assyrian army did not take Jerusalem. Well, let's look at the ultimate result as we close this up this morning. And this is so simple. Really, to me, this is like the climax of the movie, but it's just really like basically two verses. That night, verse 35, the angel of the Lord went out and he put to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and he withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and he stayed there. And one day while he was worshiping in the temple of his god Nisroch, his sons Adrammelech and Sharezer killed him with the sword, and they escaped to the land of Ararat. And Esarhaddon and his son succeeded him as king. I'm going to say this so simple. The Lord delivers. It's almost trite. I hate to even say it that way, but he does. When he sets his plan into his path, and it's laid out, it's going to happen. He delivers. And here, did the Israelite army, did they have to work on raising funds so they could have better chariots and so they could have better bows and so they could have crossbows and so that they could have better walls? Sometimes we think, I got to get all the resources together if I'm going to do this. But this was a God thing. And God said, I'm going to do this. And in one night, he took out 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. You think that didn't send a message to the rest of the world? The king, Sennacherib, where does he go back to? A place I think you're pretty familiar with. The capital of Assyria, what was it called? Remember a guy by the name of Jonah went there, didn't he? Or he didn't really want to go there, but he ended up there. That place was Nineveh. And then just as the Lord said, Sennacherib was cut down. Again, verse 7. Listen, when he hears a certain report, I'll make him want to return to his own country. There, I'll cut him down with the sword. God does exactly as he said he would. Sennacherib did return, and he was cut. All right, so if you're like me today, you're like, man, that's an awesome story. I love that story. But what in the world does that have to do with me today? Look at these things here just briefly with me this morning and think about them. First thing, God doesn't need us to defeat his detractors. You ever feel like you got to defend God? That would be like if there was a little ant crawling by my feet and that little ant could speak and it would say, don't mess with Travis Penn. That's us trying to defend God. We are this compared to who he is. He doesn't need us to defend him. He's big enough to defend and to defeat his detractors. Second thing, God honors his humble and his obedient servants. Did Hezekiah immediately say, well, he's talking smack about my people. I'm going to go fight him right now. No. Where'd he go? If you'll bear a little penology here, he went to church. He went to the temple. He tore his clothes. He begged God to intervene. You guys, if you're in a battle and if something's coming in your way in your life and you don't know how to overcome it, that is the thing we need to be doing. We need to humble ourselves and we need to seek the big God and we need to ask him to deliver. And then here's the thing that, again, it's so simple, but please don't ever forget this. God keeps his promises. And hear me out today. Again, I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not trying to make you afraid. But to the good and to the bad, God keeps his promises. All right? Heaven is a promise. Hell is a promise. Love, compassion, benevolence, promises. Holiness, justice, wrath, promises. God keeps his word. And he did it here again. God is God alone. There is no other, and we should not be worshiping sports. We should not be worshiping money. We should not be worshiping power or influence. We worship the King, Jesus Christ. How do you honor God? How do you honor God? By accepting the gift of his son and then ultimately by trusting him enough to obey what he asks of you. The miracle of deliverance. And can I share something with you briefly this morning when I was reading my devotions today? It's a good reminder. After Hezekiah, a couple kings later, we'll have a king by the name of Josiah. And he's incredible. Probably like no other king did he destroy all of the idol worship through the whole country. But at the end of his days, Josiah will be cut down. And it was a result because of the Israelites' sin, and they never forsook their sin. You guys will remember with Peter, and you remember with Stephen. What happened when Peter preached? 3,000 people got saved. What happened when Stephen preached? They stoned him. Were they both faithful? Were they both humble? Did they both honor God? Yes. I think what's hard to see sometimes is Stephen had as much or maybe more impact than even Peter did. But we must obey. Let's stand this morning. Thank you guys so much for your patience today. I pray that you'll be reminded that you serve God alone. We're going to ask our musicians to come. And I want to try to do this carefully. I'm not here to call anyone into anything, to make you become anything. But we heard it at our TAC rally Friday night. God is calling people into mission field. He's calling people into ministry. He's calling people into service. Last Sunday, you saw Darren and Dana Portell, and Darren's not a preacher. Darren's a PE coach. But he's serving the Lord, and he served the Lord in Morocco, in France, in Taiwan, and now at the University of Illinois. And what I want to tell you today, you may not feel like, oh, I don't know what gifts I have. God can take your gifts and he can do incredible things. We'll just humble ourselves. Let's take a moment of quiet, then we'll pray, and Brother Ray will lead us in a song, okay? For today, we're just reminded that you alone are God. Lord, I pray that you would help us to humble ourselves before you. And Lord, that we would give you glory for all the work that you do. Lord, if there's someone here today that's not ready to meet you, or they're not ready, they don't know if they died today, if they'd be ready to meet you, we pray that they would know Jesus today and of his love and of his sacrifice. Lord, they could find hope in him. Then, Lord, today we just pray you to take us out of this place and make us missionaries and help us to have big ideas for the great God to do for his glory in our lives. Please open our minds and our hearts. Help us make decisions that please and honor you. Lord, most of all, I just pray that you would humble us. And Lord, out of a heart of worship, let us obey. Let us hear your voice. And Lord, then fill us with great joy. And it's in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.